Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play
girls
games.
Don't play games.
Geek Herring is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk about the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name's Amanda. Pretty sure I just messed up that introduction, but that's okay. And with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, laughing her ass off at me co-host, Monica. Hey, 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 Monica.
Hey, 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 Amanda. You're not wrong about laughing my ass off because the look on your face was also legit gold.
I was like... That's not what we say. Is that what we say? I'm just going to go with it. Let's carry on here.
Yeah, we just carry on with it. Why the fuck not? I mean,
Yeah. We
can do what we want.
Yeah, it's our show.
Right.
So whatever. Yeah.
How are you doing? Sorry that we interrupt this question off or a laugh, but Amanda was dancing with herself and raising the roof.
On fire. I'm really good. Thanks. Yeah, like really good. Things are good. How are you?
You didn't sound very convincing there.
Oh, things are really fucking good. They're really, really rad, totally tubular, really like rock your socks off. All the things that are good, the things are good. Oh, life is good. I'm happy. How's that? Was that better? You need me to be like more talking and be like, yay, life is good.
Oh my God. I wonder what people are thinking right now. I think she's not high. I mean, I can only assume, but I think that's normal.
This is high on life.
High on life. That's great. What is news in your HQ?
Well, lots is new for like me business wise, I guess. That's cool.
Why are you not dropping what you're offering here? Damn it. We're doing a podcast. Why are you not?
Okay, I would just feel weird like self-promoting on our show.
No, we're doing this. This is our fucking show.
Okay. So I launched a podcast course.
That's amazing. And I mean, as an awesome podcaster as we are, that's just clear that you need to launch a podcast course because all the experience, man.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about it. And you know, because you did so much website work for us over the past few weeks, and it's amazing. It's like the coolest site and podcast landing page ever in the world. So thank you so much for all your help. I mean, you're terrible. I can't believe you did this to me.
That's how we roll now, people. In case you haven't watched Chain the Virgin, you need to do it just to figure out what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
So that's up. Pre-orders are open now. And you can just start your own podcast.
Go to thankfulcow.com/podcast-course and then you can sign up and do the stuff. If she's not saying it, then I will.
Thanks, Monica.
And we drop the link in the show notes as well to get the course. It's really cheap right now, only £127, which is basically no dollars and no euros anymore because Brexit, yay! So
that's true.
Hop over, get the course for 50% off. So
yeah, it's
do
over
it,
50%
do it.
Off. It's kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, I can't do math.
Actually, it's not. It's me that can't do math. I'm like, actually, that's not even over 50% off.
It's almost 50% off then.
Almost 50% off. I need to change the landing page.
The things we notice.
I do podcasts. I don't do math.
Yeah, right. Cool beans.
So what's new with you? Like, that's my cool stuff. What's going on in Monica Town?
Monica Town? What happened in the last couple of weeks? Geeky wise, I don't even quite know. Seriously, I have no idea. I haven't played games in a while. We watched El Camino the other day. Well,
how was it?
I don't know. I didn't know if I needed an additional ending after Breaking Bad. I think it was pretty great. And I was already glad to see that Jesse... I mean, I think it's not spoilers anymore now after. Maybe
it is. Yeah, it's been out for a while.
It's been there for a while. So I was relieved with what happened to Jesse after it ended. So that was fine with me. I didn't feel the need of getting more insights on what Jesse did afterwards. But that's what El Camino is about. And it, yeah, was. I mean, he's playing really great. Like, the acting is amazing. But also, I don't know if I would have needed to see this. It's not like, this is the thing I've been looking for. It wasn't like that at all. But yeah, other than
that's fair.
Did some work-wise is okay now. Do get a lot of websites done, like yours.
Yeah.
And have a few others in line. But geeky-wise, it's really, really sad now. Haven't played. Watching The Ranch. It's interesting.
I heard it's good.
Yeah, it's it takes a bit of getting into. I like the slang that Ashton Kutcher is talking in this Southy kind of American slangy thing. He's always having some tobacco, chew the tobacco in his mouth and talking real weird. You don't see it, but you just see it. His lip is different, and you always assume there's something in there. I just tried to do it. That's why it sounded weird. and yeah, it's nice. Someone said it's a show for the more right-wing people, but I think it's just making it on the one hand, it's so ridiculous sometimes that it's interesting for lefties, so I just find it hilarious when they crack all the right-wing jokes, and I think maybe others just enjoy it because of that, I guess. Like, typically very, very, very redneck and very pro-gun and stuff, but in a hilarious kind of way, so I think that's fun.
I have to check it out. Tom and I started watching Living With Yourself. It's a new Netflix show starring Paul Rudd.
Oh, I saw the preview.
Yeah, we are halfway through it. Binged 4 episodes in one night, and it's pretty funny. It's pretty good. It's not like laugh your ass off funny, but the concept is pretty cool, and I'd recommend it.
I saw the preview or the trailer of it, and I wasn't sure if that's actually a comedy or a horror psycho stuff.
I think it would probably be in the realm of dramedy. Like, it's a drama with comedic elements.
Yeah. I mean, because it's Paul Rudd.
Yeah. And he's phenomenal. Like, he has to play two characters, the same character twice.
Yeah.
And it's really good. He's amazing. But Paul Rudd's amazing. So
yeah, I really like Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm.
He grew on me. Even though Ant-Man didn't grow on me, but Paul Rudd grew on me.
Yeah, Ant-Man's like meh, but Paul Rudd's like yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love everything he's been in. I just adore him. He just seems like such a wholesome man. Like
a wholesome man. That sounds like something you get in a cake shop.
It does. Buy your Paul Rudd wholesome man cake. Just $49.99. It's life size.
I get it. Amazing.
Now I want to make a Paul Rudd cake.
Sorry, I'm just imagining. I'm imagining it right now in my head. That would be cool.
Maybe I'll do it for next weekend.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen because I wouldn't have a clue how to start making a life-size cake of Paul Rudd.
We just produce a lot of cake initially and then we just piece it together with frosting, I guess.
Yeah, we could do that. The entire kitchen table just made of cake.
We can put Tom there and then cut around him.
Yeah.
And what's the leftovers we put on top of Paul Rudd's Tom, and then we just frost the stuff and then we sculpture it.
Wait, is Tom still in the cake?
No.
Oh, I got confused there. I thought you said, and then we put the leftovers on top of Paul Rudd Tom. And I was like,
yeah, but the Paul Rudd Tom cake.
Okay.
Because it will not be a Tom cake, it will be a Paul Rudd cake, but we need to find some outlines for this.
Okay.
And we don't have a life-size Paul Rudd. I mean, if you're free on next weekend and you're listening to this, you're invited.
Yeah. A BlizzCon party / funeral party. Who knows?
Funeral party?
I don't know. Blizzard is dying.
Oh,
maybe. So we can hold them a funeral party in their honor while watching BlizzCon burn to the ground.
We will see.
Yeah. But well, I like we will see together.
Yeah. Because when this episode is out, everything already happened.
Yeah. So Monica, we have had to keep it a secret. Monica's coming over to visit.
Yeah.
But by the time this episode's out, she's already been here.
And the surprise has already happened. So yay. Now we can finally talk about it. We just know it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
It's been a hard secret to keep because it means we can't even talk about it on here.
Yeah, I know, but we just wanted to make really sure that information won't leak.
Yeah.
Yeah. The annoying face.
It's true. I know. Tom kept yelling at me for telling people that, like, don't know you guys. And I was like, what does it matter?
Oh, man. No, I think we will cross that finish line.
I think we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've worked on that in the last DPS games night. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Cool.
Well, what week is it this month? What day? What are we doing today, Monica? Take it away, Sam.
It's Geek Girl in the News month of the weekday. That's what it is. And I like that you already hinted towards our first article. I don't think it was intentional at all, but I think it's still
it was. I did it on purpose.
Oh, nice.
Thanks.
Because our first article, if you've listened to our latest episode, which a lot of people actually did, so thanks for that. If you're stuck around and you're listening to this as well, hi, newbies. We've talked about the Hong Kong Blitzchung Blizzard situation. And we have got a new-ish update, or I mean, update is too much said, but what we're talking about is that the US Congress got itself involved in the situation.
Yeah. So the US Congress, in a state of bipartisan action, which means that both Democrats and Republicans, that's two sides of the American Congress system who tend to butt heads on everything, they got together to chastise Blizzard, basically.
I like the word you used, even though I have no idea what it actually means. But yeah.
Chastise? It's to tell someone off.
Thank you. For the ESL people and our listeners.
Of course. So you're welcome.
Yeah, as Amanda already said, it's both Democrats and Republicans. And they got together and sent a letter stating their concern over how Blitzchung, which they used his actual name for, which I don't actually, I'm not able to properly pronounce.
Ing Wai Chung.
Ing?
Ing.
Okay, NG is just Ing. Okay, then Ing Wai Chung, Blitzchung. How they treated him and how he was made to forfeit the prize money and was banned from the tournament. So, and they wrote a one page long letter to Blizzard themselves, where they expressed their deep concern about their reaction of how they made him give up his prize money. Especially, and this is a quote, "This decision is particularly concerning in light of the Chinese government's growing appetite for pressuring American business to help stifle free speech."
Yeah, it's a very direct letter. There's no beating around the bush. These senators and representatives did, like, just point blank called Blizzard out that that their actions are completely un-American and totally wrong.
Yeah, they even basically tell them, you say you value people's right to express individual thoughts and opinions, and look at what you've done now, basically.
Yeah. The last paragraph of the letter is very telling. It is like the blizzard should be tucking their tail between their legs and running away based on this paragraph alone. Like it was like, you know, you are in trouble with the government, Blizzard. So these senators and representatives said, as China amplifies its campaign of intimidation, you and your company must decide whether to look beyond the bottom line and promote American values, like freedom of speech and thought, or to give in to Beijing's demands in order to preserve market access. We urge you, in the strongest terms, to reconsider your decision with respect to Mr. Cheng. You have the opportunity to reverse course. We urge you to take it.
Yeah. So it's not a letter that beats around the bush at all. That would be so hilarious if Bush were still president.
You would have been funny like 15 years ago, Monica.
Yeah, 15 years ago, me would be like, look at that. That was a good one.
For sure. I think that this letter has possibly come to light. It came out on October 20th. So it came out a few days after our episode and about the whole incident. And our episode, if you haven't heard, like, we have confirmed that Blitz Chung and Blizzard have, or he's been given his prize money back, and his ban is only 6 months instead of the year. So I'm wondering, has this letter come out on the back? Like, had Blizzard already taken the action, or had Blizzard's action that they took to reinstate Blitz Chung's earnings, has that come because of this letter? Or did they send it like after all these decisions had already been made?
I think we can figure this out. The letter is stated, the date of the letter is October 18th.
October 18th. We recorded our episode released on October 18th, which means that decision was already made.
Yeah.
By the time they sent that letter. So that's quite funny.
I mean, politics and speed in politics, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I love the point that you were making before the show about American politicians getting involved in something like this when there's a lot of other bigger issues that actually impact their government.
Yeah.
Or their country.
Don't get me wrong, right? I mean, I'm just thinking, if politicians would actually gave so much crap about things that are way more important than this. It's not, I'm not saying that this is not important, but for causes that benefit their entire country, then that would be awesome. But instead, they have their unified enemy, which is China, and they can get together the differentiating parties of the, what is it again, Congress, who basically agree in nothing at all. But when it's against China, then we can write a letter to Blizzard telling them off and showing them that it's not great what they've done. Whereas I think it's easy when you talk from an American standpoint as a politician, because you always have America and your own country in your, like, as your highest, most important topic. Whereas if you're an international company, I just think it's way more difficult always, as we've mentioned in the episode last week or a few weeks ago, because you have to handle and deal with and juggle a lot of different laws, a lot of nationalities, a lot of cultures. So I just think that often makes it more difficult. Whereas when I'm a politician of a country, that's my only concern. Like, my biggest concern is my own country. I just think sometimes it's not that easy, which doesn't mean that I don't approve of telling them off in a way, but I would wish they would put some energy in other things as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
But yeah, so I love the article headline because it said Blizzard got vibe checked, and a lot of tweets and memes came out as well. They were pretty hilarious. They're all in the article that we will link in the show notes. Below or above or wherever.
Check it out. So you'll be happy to know that that is our only kind of shitty news. Like, that's the only really kind of bad news that's come out. Everything else is pretty exciting.
Yay, so we have a positive week this week. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. So first on the agenda is a little bit of Disney Plus news.
Man, I really want this to be to come out soon over here.
I can't wait. Do we have a date?
No, I don't think there is a date for us, is there? It's like November or something for what, US?
Yeah.
But that's it then. We've recently found a list of movies that will come out when Disney Plus releases.
Oh, Disney- my God, it looks amazing.
Yeah. And Disney Plus, which that I find particularly hilarious, and I feel really sorry for the person who had to do this, they posted a tweet and basically tweeted every movie as a single tweet in a tweet thread.
That's oh, really?
How, yeah, that's how that list came to be.
Oh.
I posted like 300 movies and shows in a Twitter thread. Pretty hilarious. But yeah, it's a long, long list. So many movies that I haven't even heard of and so many movies that I had no idea were from Disney. But what we know will be from Disney is the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Woohoo!
And why do we know that?
Because Deborah Chow is going to be directing it. So Deborah Chow is an Asian-American director who's known for Fear the Walking Dead, Better Call Saul, Iron Fist, American Gods, and The Man in the High Castle, and the new Star Wars show, The Mandalorian.
She's basically at home in Geek Town somehow, like with The Mandalorian and with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh my gosh, right? So cool.
And Fear the Walking Dead and Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and all the things. She's just pretty geeky. I like it. I like what's going on there. Yeah. And it looks as though Ewan McGregor will be reprising his role as Obi-Wan as well.
Oh, man, I would love that. I really, really like Ewan McGregor.
So do I. He's the best.
Yeah, he's so cool. I watched his series where he was, like, going on his bike around and across the world.
Long Way Around.
Yeah, and Long Way Down.
Yeah, I've seen Long Way Round, and I've read it. I've got both the books somewhere.
Yeah.
I think I've got them, but I haven't seen Long Way Down, but oh, I love them.
That was a time when I was actually riding a motorcycle, but then decided...
You used to ride a motorcycle?
Yeah, I have a license.
What?
You didn't know?
No!
Yeah, I used to ride a motorcycle. I had one, but then I always fell over when I was standing, so I thought that might not be the safest way for me to travel, so I sold it again. I didn't feel particularly secure on my motorbike, so that's why I then sold it again to take.
Wow.
Yeah, but I
feel like I know you that much better now.
Do you, though?
Yes.
So yeah, Ewan McGregor, awesome person. Apparently the series will take place 8 years after the events of the Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Because it says that we just saw Obi-Wan giving Luke Skywalker to his Tatooine homestead. And so then I hope we'll be following Obi-Wan's life from there. That's going to be really cool, actually.
I just see now that Ewan McGregor is also an executive producer in the thing, so he's definitely going to be part of it. That's not just an image that they put there.
Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing. 100% love it.
Super exciting. So for all the Star Warsians out there, I think that's totally wrong how I said that.
I'll accept it.
Okay. Amanda and I also have a deal that before the end of the year, we will binge watch Star Wars.
All 11 movies.
All 11 movies before the other movie comes out.
Movies before the other movie comes out.
Okay.
Math is hard.
Yeah, today especially. I mean, it would be even cooler if Disney Plus had released everything by then in Europe. Nudge, nudge, nudge. But
I feel like that's not going to happen for us.
Damn it. Yeah. I don't get why, but whatever.
I don't get why either. Yeah.
Cool.
So moving on from one really cool series to another universe, we're going into the DC-verse.
DC-verse.
So we already reported that Robert Pattinson has been cast as the Batman.
Did we see pictures of that yet? No, right?
No. Damn. Nope.
I would be so curious.
It would be. I'm really, really curious about it for sure. And now it has been rumored that Catwoman has been found in Zoe Kravitz.
I don't know how what I think about this. Not because, mainly because I have her as Lita Lestrange head.
Yeah.
And she wasn't very feisty and very badassy in that one role, I think.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. I was trying to think. I was like, I recognize her from something. And I'm like, oh, that, yeah.
Yeah. That movie I didn't like. But you didn't like the movie in general, so maybe that's also not a great place to start from. But yeah, she was just very, very soft in that one. Like a soft role, I think. Very emotional role, so I can't quite imagine her in Catwoman. But then again, she's the daughter of Lenny fucking Kravitz, so I think she's pretty badass. She must be pretty badass.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, and like she's joining a cast, like a legacy of really strong, badass women who have played Catwoman in the past. So I feel like she's going to be, if they've cast her in this role, I think she's going to be pretty epic at it.
I'm just reading through the list. And a lot of them I don't even know, but still interesting that some I had no idea were Catwoman. Like it's Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, Eartha Kitt, Michelle Pfeiffer, Hailey Bieber.
Good Catwoman.
Was that in the Batman where Schwarzenegger was in?
I think she was opposite. I think it was Val Kilmer.
Ah, okay.
I'm going to double check my knowledge right now. 2 seconds.
Double check your knowledge. Fact check the knowledge. The others I didn't want to hang on. The other two that were there were obviously Halle Berry, Anne Hathaway, and the three I can't count. Math is really particularly hard today. Cameron Bicondova, I've actually never heard of her. Also, she doesn't look familiar at all, so I have no idea.
There we go. Michael Keaton's Batman. Damn it.
Almost right. And for those of you who, Cameron Bicondova is in Gotham, plays Gotham, so I guess she's the Catwoman in Gotham.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, actually, I don't know that name. It's one of the only never ones heard. That I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious. I mean, also, who would have thought Anne Hathaway would be Catwoman? She was the Princess Bride or whatever it was called, so.
The Princess Diaries shows the Princess Bride.
Yeah, that one.
Have you not seen her as Catwoman? She was quite good.
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her as Catwoman. Oh, okay. She was with Christian Bale.
Yeah, I thought you were saying, like, who would have thought? Like,
I mean, who would have thought? I just made my argument not valid anymore by by Zoe Kravitz's role being a softy role and then Anne Hathaway being the princess whatever.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm with you.
Yeah. And that's all about acting, right? So they need to be able to do various things.
Yeah, their whole realm of acting, range of acting. Yeah. So yeah, that's cool.
Let's see what will happen, I would say.
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Ben Affleck. I haven't seen his Batman. Because I'm pretty sure that I've talked about this before, how DC doesn't super thrill me because it's always just different people doing the same story.
Well, it wasn't the case with Ben Affleck's one because they only had like these merch movies because he was only playing in Batman versus Superman and Justice League. So there was no standalone movie with Ben Affleck as Batman. He got a lot of shit, I guess, but I think he could have been worse. I mean, everyone after Christian Bale had a tough time.
Yeah, that's true.
He would have had a tough time, so I guess.
He was a great Batman.
He was an amazing Batman. So we will see what will happen there.
Well.
Moving swiftly forward.
So next up, we have the amazing, wonderful, awesome, superb Natalie Portman giving an awesome speech at the L Women in Hollywood event, talking about equality and calling for women to embrace their mistakes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because I think we need to embrace our mistakes more.
No. I do too. I do. I think like embracing our mistakes and embracing who made us who we are is a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think it always makes one stronger if one embraces their mistakes rather than pretending they never happened and yeah. not owning them or blaming other people. So I think it's actually a sign of strength if you can embrace your mistakes.
I agree. So Natalie Portman has a new film coming out called Lucy in the Sky, where she plays a female astronaut who, and I quote, loses her cool and loses everything.
I like that description. And I think especially as a woman in Hollywood is often difficult because you're watched from every angle. And I guess it's always difficult for women in general to own their place. And then if they fail, they're easily out of the sphere again. Look what I did there.
I like that.
And she basically, in her speech, she talks about how she has been not educated, but how while growing up, it seemed like every other actress was a competition or actresses were marked as crazy of some sort. And only when she got to know more and more actresses, she realized that that's actually bullshit. But that's not what she said. I just rephrased it like this.
Yeah. In her speech, she says, over the last couple of years, I've gotten to meet more of you. And by you, I mean those who identify as women in the entertainment industry than I have in my 25-year career. And I just would like to give Natalie Portman some kudos for trans rights there.
Yeah, definitely. It's really important. Definitely. Yeah. And while her time as a public figure, she realized that it's not actually everyone. Every actress is crazy or difficult or demanding or artificial. And it's really important to also stick together and what we always keep saying, work together instead of against each other.
Yeah, she goes on to say that like everyone is super talented and smart and easy to be around. And you have to be easy to be around because if you're a woman and you're a pain in the ass, you will not get another job.
I mean, I laugh even though it's sad.
This is really sad. Actually, I'm just reading this part of the speech. She says, but meanwhile, how will we know if we've reached equality? Is it going to be when this room is a room full of successful women and it's full of assholes? Is it going to be when our movies tank and then we get a raise the next time? Is it going to be when we commit a series of crimes and get elected anyways? Amazing. I love what she's calling out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She continues to say that she says, and I quote, I hope not. I hope more optimistically that equality goes in the direction of men being held to the same standards that women are held to. That alongside talent, kindness, respect, and being easy to work with are valued as essential characteristics to getting hired.
And that truly bad behavior prevents you from getting another job.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. She says, in conclusion, our job in this room as leaders in our industry is fuck up. The most powerful example we can set for the next generation would be for us to do that most human of things. Make mistakes and then not follow the narrative of the doomed woman or the fallen woman or the destroyed woman. Go out post-mistake and succeed wildly. So fuck up and thrive, sisters.
I feel that one needs to be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Fuck up and thrive, sisters.
Make it a Geek Herring shirt, Monica.
Yes, I will make it a Geek Herring shirt.
Good. You can find that in our merch store.
It's also in the show notes.
Yeah. No, this is brilliant. Natalie Portman is amazing. I love everything that she stands for, basically. Yeah. She's an actress that can do no wrong in my eyes.
I mean, I don't know.
Don't prove me wrong.
I don't know if I would sign it, but I'm definitely here for it for the moment. But yeah.
So So I think that's we're obviously the speech, the link to the speech is in our show notes. So please make sure that you take a minute to read it because it's really empowering and just grateful for people like Natalie Portman taking the stage to lead women in film industry.
Yeah, I think it's important that we often point out that it's not always a fight against each other. And even as a Hollywood person, I think everybody assumes that they're in the best place in the world and they have all the money and all the fame and everything is great. Whereas I don't think that's actually true because life follows you everywhere. And with more money, you just have more problems. And if you're not a great person, then you're just an asshole and you're an asshole with a lot of money. But yeah, whatever. I don't know what my point was here. But yeah, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Embrace your mistakes. Fuck up and take the stage afterwards. And by stage, I mean like whatever stage you step out on in your life, whether that is your computer screen or your company or I don't know, whatever you need to do. If you make a mistake, just don't let it be the end of the world.
Yep. Amen to that.
Yeah. I learned it the hard way myself.
Man. But you've come to a good place now, right? So owning it is better than trying
it is better than hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and on the topic of space, we actually have a pretty space-filled end to this episode. So thank you, Natalie Portman, for leading us into this section. You probably have seen this because I have seen this everywhere and I just think it's amazing. But an all-female Delta team, that's an airplane, an airline in the States, they flew 120 girls to NASA to get them excited about aviation careers.
That's amazing.
It's so cool. The picture just gives me chills looking at it. Like, it's so cool.
So they flew from Salt Lake City to Houston and they took 120 girls between 12 and 18 with them to go to the Space Center, as Amanda already said, on the International Girls in Aviation Day. Internal, whatever.
The girls came from STEM schools throughout Salt Lake City, and they got to see women run every single aspect of the flight. All-female pilot and flight crew, ramp agents, gate agents on the ground, and women in the control tower. That's amazing. Like, every single person involved in that flight was a woman, showing that women are capable and do everything.
To be honest, it stopped with me after pilots in my head, but now that you read also that it's the ramp agents, the gate agents on the ground, and the women in the tower.
Yeah.
True, I didn't even think of that, and I'm sorry I didn't think of you if you're one of those.
Yeah, that's amazing. So they looked around mission control and got to eat lunch with astronaut and aerospace engineer Jeanette Epps. So that's pretty cool that they like got that chance to be up close and personal with one of their, well, I'm assuming she's one of their idols, because if you're in that area, like into aviation, you're going to know who she is and you're going to be like, oh my God, and totally fangirl.
Yeah. The sad thing is, though, that apparently there are only 5% of the pilots are women at the moment, and only 7.4% hired over the last 4 years are women. That's pretty sad. Yeah. Pretty sad.
It is actually really sad. But, well, 2.4% increase, you know, at least it's not a decrease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you can put these two numbers together. Only led from all the people they hired, only 77.5% 7.4% of women.
Yeah. So, but I think that they recognize the problem and it's, you know, we do need more women in aviation, but it's coming. Like, I have a friend that I went to cadets with over here and she's a pilot.
Nice.
Spent years like qualifying, has traveled all over the world qualifying, like, and now she flies. I think she flies for EasyJet.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And shout out to Sarah.
Yay, go Sarah. And even by doing events like this, it at least raises awareness and representation matters.
Yeah, it does. And those 120 girls just got an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
I think that's really awesome. And I hope that they do this every single year on International Girls in Aviation Day.
That would be cool.
Super cool.
Awesome. And because you've talked women in space. This is drum roll. It finally happened.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. It didn't look as if it would happen, but it finally happened. The first all-female spacewalk.
Woo! Ooh. So they finally got some spacesuits to fit.
Which is, again, and so ridiculous, but so whatever. Ridiculous.
Yeah. But Christina Koch and Jessica Mayer were out there doing the first female spacewalk. It's amazing. This article that we are reading right now, it actually happened. It's about, like, before it happened. So yeah. I wonder if we find one that's from after. There we go.
Yay.
So the spacewalk happened on October 18th. And this video, or this link from CNN, has a full video of, well, not a full video, but it's got a video of the women out there doing their spacewalk.
So it apparently officially began at 7:38 and lasted 7 hours and 17 minutes.
Wow, that's so long.
Yeah. Wow. It was the fourth spacewalk for Koch and Mayer. And from where...
The first one for Mayer?
Oh, the first, sorry. Can't read properly. Yeah. Can't math, okay. And can't read today.
Math and words. Oh, math, you know, math, it's hard. And words.
Oh. Yeah, life is hard. And they could see the Earth from where they were. It's pretty cool. The first woman who conducted a spacewalk was a Russian, and that already happened in 1984. That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. So 12 US women have been on 40 spacewalks over 35 years, and Koch and Mayer were the 13th and 14th women to do spacewalks.
But obviously never with all females in the shuttle. Is that what it's called? I guess so.
Yeah, well, outside the shuttle, I guess. And they were just absolutely honored with a phone call from President Donald Trump.
What the
telling
fuck?
Them, the job that you do is incredible. I'm thrilled to be speaking with two brave American astronauts making history. This is the first time for a woman outside of the space station. I just want to congratulate you. You're very brave people. You are amazing people.
You actually haven't done the worst of jobs here.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, I haven't been practicing.
I for your first go, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I would ever want to hear anything from President Trump if I'm in a space station, but whatever.
Yeah. But just in pure Trump fashion, he got his facts wrong. First time for a woman outside of the space station. Like, dude, it's happened 42 times now.
Yeah, whatever, man. But they're amazing people. Amazing, really amazing people. I can't even really do that amazing. Properly.
No. Yeah, so I think it's really cool. Mayer was recognizing that it was a totally historical achievement that they were the first two women for, like, an all-female spacewalk, and they wanted to give credit to all the women that went before them, and they're definitely making history. I'm excited for the future of space, and hopefully with some of those 120 students, we'll be getting lots more female astronauts coming through.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations on it finally happening.
Finally. Glad it happened, because now that it's happened once, it's just going to continue to happen.
Yeah. Also, I don't get why, I mean, the spacesuits doesn't fit. It's like such a, I mean, I get that this is all expensive, but it's all not the only, there are more women in working at NASA or who are astronauts who would go there, and they were out there already. So it's very confusing to me, but always sounded like a not great excuse for them to not send them out there. But whatever, what's past is past. It happened now.
Yeah. And just in case anybody was wondering what the women were actually doing out in space, they replaced a faulty battery charge/discharge unit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. Good job, ladies. So excited. It was really cool to watch as well. I watched some parts of it. Live. I was like, wow, they're out there right now doing the space stuff.
Cool beans. So congratulations, Koch and Mayer.
You're amazing and you're true heroes and role models for all women around the world.
Yes.
Not just little girls who aspire to be you.
True. We just like to see us more in all the places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this episode of Geek Girl in the News was like a really girl power episode.
Yes. We can do it. Like,
we can do anything.
For sure.
The best.
We can become Catwoman. We can fuck up. We can fly planes and do all the other things that needs to have to do with planes. And we can walk in space.
Without the aid of a man, might I add.
True.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, let's just bring it all the way back to the first article. We can be senators and Congress people and ambassadors, or what are they called? Because there was a female name on that letter to Blizzard as well.
Yeah, the very popular one.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, she's pretty popular, isn't she? Like, people love her.
She's very popular. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Definitely.
Yeah. You can be it all. We can be it all.
Yeah. So that's all the news stories that we've got for you this week. It's been, like we say, a pretty girl power episode. And it was awesome to talk about and to shout about all the awesome achievements.
So thanks for doing this with us again, and see you again next week.
Or in the meantime, if next week is too far away, you can sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/geekherring, where we have finally started doing those behind the scenes updates. So get in there and learn what's going on in between these episodes.
Yes. And more and more and more.
Yes, exactly.
So patreon.com/geekherring, in case we haven't said that yet.
We did, but we can say it again.
We can just edit it out.
We can just have it in twice.
Okay. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
See you next week.
See you next week for another really awesome episode of Geek Caring.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at DragonPoweredStudio.com.